You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, November 4th, 2009. This is episode 104, Glowing About the Bible. It is time again for another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. We are on episode 104, and joining me for the previous 103 episodes is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Coming to you from a post-Reformation celebration here in Sleepy Eye. We had a big weekend with all the wonderful celebrations that went on.
Did you have a joint service at all, or just for your church?
We did have a special service at Martin Luther College in the afternoon on Sunday. It was very nice. The college choir sang, and then I was even part of an adult choir that came together from all the congregations. So it was really special. We got to sing In Christ Alone, which is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. So, special day.
Mine too. Yeah, it is a special time of year. All kinds of the hymns that have to be sung on Reformation, right?
Yeah, good stuff.
All those good Luther hymns and putting the choirs together. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are going to talk about the Bible and in digital form today. We've had a number of queries, I guess, from our listeners about digital Bible study. I recently did a workshop at the Wisconsin State Teachers Conference held here in Milwaukee last, I think it was Thursday and Friday. So we thought, well, let's take that material and take the questions that we have from our listeners about digital or online Bible study, and we're going to talk really about two kind of flavors of that and see where that goes. So are you ready for that, Sally?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited. It was pretty interesting to receive questions just this week from Pastor John Gunther at Trinity in Marshfield, Wisconsin, and also from Nathan Hansen. Both of them looking for ideas, tools, and ways to do online Bible study. Mm-hmm. And I think, there's lots of different approaches to this. Certainly, there's the whole concept of just your own personal Bible study using digital mechanisms, but also the concept of our pastors or groups meeting online around a Bible study topic. So lots of directions you can go.
Yep. So let's address that. Why don't we start with the questions that Pastor Gunther raised? And he was specifically looking for, and I'm just quickly reading through the email here, what he is looking for is...
Well, I think his main focus was to be able to reach families. He was
looking at
doing some parenting online Bible study, and maybe even having some discussion threads available for them to have maybe like an asynchronous conversation online. Mm-hmm. And potentially branching out to reaching new members as well, but starting with a member-based focus.
Yep. There's a couple things, and we work through this a little bit in my presentation. When you're thinking about online Bible study, I think it's still very early in the process, that there aren't a lot of dedicated tools for this. There are, of course, Web 2.0 tools that we'll talk about here in a minute. But I think the best way to get started with online Bible study or online digital Bible study, whatever you want to call it, is to kind of take a blended approach where you take something that happens traditionally face-to-face, like a catechism class or a Sunday morning Bible study or whatever, and carve out a little piece of it and say, we're going to take this online. So maybe that's the week in between you meet. So let's use a catechism class or confirmation class as an example. So they typically meet once a week if you're talking public school. And I know we have a lot of elementary school teachers and pastors here, too, that have congregations with elementary schools, so you may meet a little bit more often. But for most, it's once a week. But during the week, then, you have a digital component, an online component that you ask your students to participate in. And there are some staples that I think that you would have in any kind of online experience. One of those would be just the good old-fashioned discussion board, where you have a topic that is raised perhaps by the leader, the Bible class leader or the confirmation class leader, poses a question or a series of questions similar to a homework assignment, and then the way that the participants engage with that is that they actually do a response to the topic. So that's probably the lowest tech, so to speak, way to get engaged offline, online, you know, this blended experience.
Yeah, and the thing I like about that is anyone can tune in at any time. Mm-hmm. You don't all have to meet at a certain time to accomplish that. So it's not like I'm going to miss out if I can't be online on Wednesday at 7 p.m. or whatever.
Yep.
You know, you can add your contributions anytime, day or night, and then whoever logs in later can see your contributions.
Yep.
So lots of power there, especially with our busy lives, to give people that ability to time shift, you know, what meets their schedules.
Yep. And you can see the thread if necessary. Like you said, you can go back in time and see the history of the conversation and maybe where it branches off into different topics or subtopics. And the web is very good at that, at recording that. And the negative is it's not real time, and you have to do a lot of typing sometimes to get your point across, whereas if you were just talking, then you don't have some of those communication barriers that are presented in a purely online fashion. I was also thinking about a couple of other tools that work in a similar fashion that could be repurposed for online discussions, online Bible discussions, and those would be blogs and wikis. A blog is traditionally an online virtual journal, but with the commenting system turned on, it could work very similarly to a discussion board. And blogs are so easy to set up, and they're very accessible and obviously free for the most part. That would be a tool that could be used. So the presenter begins a blog, and then the class essentially comments on the blog. Now, what you don't have there is an easy way to do a threaded discussion. So discussion boards win out over a blog in that fashion. But blogs are very easy to set up and work that way. The other one would be a wiki, where that would be more a class assignment, where you can begin to build this page, this collaborative web page, and people, the Bible study students, as it were, could come on and add their either their responses or their thoughts or essentially build the answer to a particular Bible study question.
And, you know, Martin, I guess looking to the future, one that we could add in this same category for down the line would be something like Google Wave, which is mm-hmm. kind of a combination type tool where you can have the asynchronous discussion. People can log on and see the discussion. It's threaded, that kind of thing. But if you're online at the same time, you get the added bonus of more of a chat type scenario where
right.
you're seeing real time what people are typing into the Wave.
That's an awesome example, Sally. And a lot of people are wondering about what are the use cases for Google Wave. People are trying to figure out how best to use it, and a lot of them have been more around project management or document creation. But I think there's a niche here for online Bible study. One thing I really like about that idea is that Wave has a built-in playback feature. So you can essentially hit the play button, and from the beginning of the Wave, beginning of the discussion, you can play back from start to finish everything that went on, how you got to where you are today, and when you joined the Wave. I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, I think we'll see more and more of that in the future as Wave and I'm sure other competitive products develop and you know, having the best of both worlds, the archive discussion as well as the live communication with those that are online at the same time is really a positive.
Yep. So, and that's coming along. Google Wave is still in, you know, very, very early on in its in its infancy, and I think we'll see that evolve over time. But and we'll talk a little bit more about WAVE later on in the show. So we've talked about discussion boards, we've talked about blogs, we've talked about wikis. Maybe just a quick rundown of the free tools that are available that could get you going in any of those areas. One would be Google Groups, and that has the added bonus of a subscription model. So you could subscribe to a discussion and get notification when something goes online. So you don't have to remind yourself, hey, I got to go check. You can actually be notified that, hey, there's new stuff going on, and stay engaged with the conversation that way, kind of an email thread. Yahoo Groups works the same way. On the blogs and wikis side, we've talked about a number of these. Those of our listeners that are Final Web users, there are blogs built into the Final Web product. I've mentioned WordPress in the past. Very easy to set up a free WordPress account. The trouble with those is if you want to keep it private, so if you are a teacher and want to do this, you know, kind of a blended experience for your students, you have to be careful with privacy, because anything you put on a public WordPress site is going to stay public. So you have to keep that in mind. But there are also some private ways to do that. Google Groups would be a way that you could assign everybody a username and a password. And on the wiki side, Sally, you and I like Wet Paint, right?
Right. I've been using Wet Paint with our school groups as well. And that one, too, is public. You can control, however, you know, who can make changes to the wiki site.
Yep.
So, and you have to let them in or approve them if that's how you set it up.
Yeah, if you want to go a little bit more private, you could do Wiki Spaces, because I think you can ratchet down the permissions there. And I believe that's free for educational purposes, too. So those are the more, you know, I would call traditional asynchronous, right, methods, where you post, you wait, you come back, you look, you participate, you read, you know, those kinds of things on your own schedule. But more and more, I think people are interested in real-time Bible study. And the same Web 2.0 collection of tools are available there that could facilitate that, and all at a great price. And it will depend on your needs here. So if you're looking at one-to-one, so if you're looking at a one-on-one kind of Bible study option, you know, things that immediately come to mind if you want to throw audio and video in there would be what we use on a regular basis, Sally, is like Skype, right? Where you can do the video chat, you can do the audio chat, and distance doesn't matter.
And, you know, I guess in some scenarios, pastors may want to broadcast a Bible class or something like that. And so technically it would be one-to-one, maybe to a different location, but there might be multiple people watching or participating at that particular location.
Yep.
So in that regard, you could use Skype to reach more than one person.
Yep, that's true. And then I think that's audio only, though, so you can't do video. But if you're looking for a one-to-many, like you described, and you want to do some kind of web conferencing where you're sharing a PowerPoint, you're sharing your desktop, whatever it is, you know, you're going to websites, et cetera, we've experimented with a tool called Vue, and that's, I believe that's V-Y-E-W, right?
That's right, Vue.com.
And that's free, and that gives you all the tools that you might need to actually interact in real time. So these are real-time solutions, if that's what you're looking for. So everybody would log in to the site at the same time, and then you'd have that real-time experience, and then your material would be presented in whatever fashion you would decide that would be most beneficial for that particular class. There are others out there that could be used. iChat, for those of you on the Mac, has some capabilities like that. I think that they've recently added, probably not recently, probably last 2 years, they've had screen sharing available. And Google Chat and video. You can do in almost any IM client, you can do audio at this point, and many of them you can do video. So those are all options if you're looking for real time. Now, if you wanted to move to the next level and have more of a classroom feel, Sally, one that you're very familiar with is the use of Moodle.
That's right. Moodle is an online course management tool is what you would probably term it.
Right.
And it's used for all different purposes, from major universities down to individuals, you know, just promoting their own courseware or whatever. But basically, it comes built with the software, all the tools you'd need to do online classes. So you can create web pages, you can have discussion forums, you can have chat rooms, you can have quizzes, and on and on and on. All those different components are built into this software, and then you tool it to fit your purposes, basically. Mm-hmm. You design your course to include whatever components you need to accomplish. We're using it here in Sleepy Eye for catechism instruction, and basically the kids are using it to take their quizzes online. So all the weekly tests that they take in catechism class have been Moodleized, mm-hmm. and really nice interface. You can do all different types of quiz questions, you know, multiple choice, true, false, Bible passages, fill in the blank, all kinds of stuff. And it's instantly graded and incorporated into the grade book that is part of the Moodle software as well. So not just a digital component to their class, but an assistance to the catechism instructor to keep up with all the grading work as well.
Right. Now, Moodle is an open source product, so it's community supported and built like a lot of other open source products are. So as a result, and there's a huge, you know, as you're well aware, a huge Moodle community around this with all kinds of different modules and plugins and the like. But there is no, like WordPress, you can't go to Moodle.org and set up a Moodle site. Is that right, Sally?
That's right. You have to have a hosting provider. There are some that will allow you to host your course on their websites,
yep.
but typically for a fee.
Right.
But basically, this is server software,
yep.
and it has a MySQL backend database that you'll need to install as well. So, you know, not for the faint of heart, at least getting started, you'll have to do a lot of reading and understanding, you know, the different components of the installation and thing. Unless you go with a provider that has like a one-click kind
yep.
of installation, that
yep.
makes it easy.
Yeah, one of those that I've used and I have an account with is DreamHost. And I believe still DreamHost offers free hosting for nonprofits.
Yeah, I was able to find some information online about that. All you basically have to provide them is your documentation from the government, a 501c3 determination letter that shows that you're a nonprofit. And it says, happily host your nonprofit selves forever.
Yep,
so,
that's awesome. And they have these one-click installs you were talking about for a lot of different things, including Moodle. So I set up a site at martinspriggs.com just for the purpose of, you know, trying some of these open source tools out. And it took me literally 5 minutes to set up my Moodle site. All I had to do was go into my control panel and say, I want to install Moodle. 5 minutes later, I had to give it the URL, so martinspriggs.com/Moodle I set it up as. And 5 minutes later, I had a fully functional Moodle site. Now, I didn't have any courses. I had to obviously create the course, but that is that's fairly straightforward as well. Where you click on create a new course, you allow the students to get either enroll in the course, or you can give them logins, I suppose, right, Sally?
That's right. You can manage that for them.
Yep, and then they come there and essentially participate in the course, whether it's on a weekly basis or however, you know, whatever kind of schedule you want to set up, and away you go. So I would say it's fairly straightforward if you've got one of these kinds of sites. And even if you have your own website already, you can still get a DreamHost account if you just want to host your Moodle site there. Very, very straightforward. And I think if you're going to do any kind of serious online Bible study or any other kind of online teaching, Moodle is really probably one of the industry leaders at this point, right?
I agree. And I guess it's worth mentioning, I didn't say it earlier, but Martin Luther College uses Moodle as well as Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. So within the Wells, there's some standardization on this platform as well. And once you develop a course in Moodle, you can back it up, zip it up, and import it into any other Moodle site. So there's some cross-platform, you know, functionality there, which is really powerful.
Yep. Word of caution, as you move into any kind of online learning experience, and Sal, you probably have learned this from experience yourself, is it's a lot of work. It's probably harder to maintain a good virtual learning environment than it is to do one in the physical classroom.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, Martin. And, you know, from a teacher's perspective, you're not just spouting off all the information and right. expecting them to absorb it. You're a participant in the conversation. So you're sparking ideas and you're watching the discussions develop, and you're guiding those discussions and things. And so you have to really be on top of things and keep things moving and the learning going on.
And it's truly an art form to get the learners to engage in the conversation. Your questions have to be crafted carefully. You have to know how much to give input to so that you're not squashing creativity or the learning process. So it's really something you almost have to kind of get yourself tuned into over time as you see what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, good point to mention is that MLC does offer courses
yep.
on teaching online. Professor Grunwald, I believe, teaches those classes, and you can take those classes online. You
right.
don't have to go to MLC to take
experience
that.
Experience so it right there.
Check out
yes.
their schedules for upcoming courses for teaching online as well.
Yep, very good. So that's kind of the online component, but there's a whole nother area that I think is just emerging in the area of what I'm calling personal Bible study. And some of these kind of cross the border, too, where you could use some of these tools that we're going to talk about in a classroom environment or even in an online environment as you're learning with other people or teaching other people. One of them that we've talked about recently is a product. It's a DVD product, there's an online offline component to this called the Glow Bible. And I presented this last Thursday at the workshop that I presented over at Wisconsin Lutheran High School. And this was a classroom full of teachers, and they were really impressed with some of the possibilities that what I call almost an Encarta for the Bible kind of solution that I believe that Bible Glow really represents here. It's essentially a multimedia Bible, and the concept or the framework that they use is a series of what they call lenses that you can look at the Bible with. One is just a straight up text lens. They call that the Bible lens. But along with that, you have a timeline lens, so you can essentially see the entire Bible in a timeline and zoom in and out, so you can kind of narrow what you want to search on or what you want to study purely on a timeline. So if you wanted to look at the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, you could zero in on that particular portion of Scripture and see what happened before and after and all the events on a timeline. Very informational. They have an atlas version, so if you want to look at it geographically, so if you wanted to kind of track one of Paul's journeys, you could do that in an atlas form, and has all kinds of interactive maps, and you see pictures. There's a topical section, so if you're looking to study the Bible based on, let's say, the topic of marriage, you could easily zoom in on, and this is all kind of big picture to small picture, you know, large to narrow focus, just with kind of your scroll wheel on your mouse. So it's all very visual and very engaging. So you could do a topical lens, or the last one would be a media lens, which shows you all of the multimedia aspects that they've put together, just thousands and thousands of images, maps, videos, all kinds of interactive things. There's commentaries that are baked into it. This is a product by Zondervan, and I picked it up the other day, about a week ago. It's only been out like 2 weeks, and have been really engaged by it so far. I think they've done just an awesome job with the integration of all these pieces and really make it work together. And I think the teachers, when they saw it last Thursday, really came up with a lot of different ideas in their own minds about how this could be used in the classroom to engage their students in, you know, some of these areas, as far as getting into the, you know, so the historical artwork around the Bible. You could get a picture of the Sistine Chapel, for instance, ceiling, and click on different pictures and then branch off into different Bible verses that would relate to, let's say, the story of creation or whatever, you know, the other elements on the chapel ceiling. All kinds of visuals that I think would be very engaging for an elementary school student. It's engaging for me, for that matter.
You know, that's what I was just thinking as you were describing it, Martin. I haven't bought the software, but just from a teaching perspective, you know, my husband developing content for Bible class on Sunday morning, this would be a way to really engage the participants in a Sunday morning Bible class to add
media
to the presentation that he's doing.
Very interactive, very engaging. I would say it's not on the level of Logos, which we'll talk about here in a minute. It doesn't go as deep into the original languages. For instance, the commentary is, I would call it, kind of lightweight. It goes a little sideways in some areas because it's not strictly Lutheran, of course, because it's put out by Zondervan. But I think in general, the way you would use this, I think the content there is so helpful in kind of giving you a much bigger and better context to what you're reading. Rather than reading just a verse of the Bible, you get all kinds of ancillary material that may be very engaging for you as you're looking to kind of see what all the Bible has to offer in all of its, you know, bringing it all together around a particular topic. So that's a journaling feature, so you could write your own notes, which I find really helpful. Comes on 3 discs. It takes a while to install. It's very multimedia heavy, so you need a decent processor on your computer to run these, and a decent video card, or I think your computer's really going to struggle with it. So just keep that in mind. But did a little bit of searching. I picked it up at the Christian Family Bookstore here in Milwaukee. They were running a special for $80. I found it on Amazon for $50. So for a fairly small fee, I think you get a wealth of material. And one of the neat parts about it is it's hooked up to an online account. So as new things get added, and there's stuff being added all the time, apparently, you're going to be able to take advantage of those. For instance, they've got animated maps coming later this month, a reading plan, a full audio Bible, more expert videos that they're going to add to the collection. All of those are... when you purchase it, you get those, I think, thrown in as they become available. So don't see a lot of downside to this. I think it really kind of encourages you to study the Bible, which is part of the deal.
Very good. And you mentioned Logos.
Yep.
We wanted to speak briefly about Logos in terms of personal Bible study as well. And we recently had Pastor Aaron Fry from Emmanuel in Tallis City, Michigan, join us and tell us about some of the exciting things going on with Logos. And just definitely notching it up in terms of being able to search Bible commentaries, multiple ones, and do your studies across multiple books using the Logos software.
Yep. Yeah, and I also presented that last week as well in the context of digital Bible study. And there's all kinds of levels, and I think Aaron did a great job at explaining, you know, what the, you know, where you are on that path. I picked up the one called, I think, Bible Leader. And this is more for the lay leader, who's interested in kind of broadening the scope a little bit. But the great thing about Logos is you can add different modules as you want to kind of tweak up or ratchet up the learning experience. If you want to get into the original language a little bit more, you get those modules. The People's Bible is available. And Logos 4 is out now, correct?
That's right. That was the big announcement this week, Monday morning. Right off the bat, Logos 4 was announced. Pastor Fry actually spilled the beans in his Twitter feed. He's ex-a-tweet on Twitter that he had access to Logos 4 for about a week in some of the final beta testing that was going on. So he was able to blog, and he actually posted 3 different blog posts with his initial impressions, with you know, information about text studies, guides, and searching, and then finally with library and resource management. And he's got screenshots and everything. So we want to post those links to information up-to-date information, breaking news, really, about the Logos 4 Bible upgrade. And they have some great resources on their website as well. They've created a list of 100 new features that are in the new software, and they have a really nice video overview that introduces you to Logos 4. So check out those links.
Very good. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about online Bibles as well, Sally. There's a growing number of those. Most of our listeners are probably familiar with BibleGateway.com, which has been around, probably one of the first online Bibles. But a couple others you may be interested in for a couple different reasons is YouVersion. That's YOUVERSION. I believe it's .com. And that one of the advantages there, it's a little bit more graphically rich, but it also provides the ability to add your own notes. There's also an iPod app, iPod and iPhone app, right?
That's right. And so if you're wirelessly connected, you can get to any of the Bible versions that are available, and then they have several that you can actually download to your iPod or iPhone that will work whether you're connected or not to the internet. So, and you can, you know, add notes in there. You can bookmark passages, things like that. My kids have iPod touches now, and they're bookmarking their memory verses. And so when they're ready to tell me their memory verses, they hand me their iPod so I can check it on their iPod.
Sweet.
Pretty cool stuff.
And Logos also has an online version as well, right? I think it's bible.logos.com.
That's right. And we just recently discovered some extra benefits with that version. You can get shortened URLs to Bible verse with their Refly URL, and then they also have a tagger as well. So there's lots of things that you can do with their Bible software as well.
Okay. So we should probably wrap up our discussion here. We've gone on long enough about digital Bible study, but it's an exciting topic, and I think a growing one as we begin to, I think we'll still always have our paper Bibles, but there's a lot of benefit to, you know, making this thing a little bit more digitized, where you can quickly do some searching, where you can bring together relevant passages, you can add multimedia like the Glow Bible does, just engaging the learner. And good Bible study students are going to want to take advantage of some of these tools. So if you have ideas for online Bible study or the different ways that you're using it, or whether it's blended or all online, or maybe even you're using it in an evangelistic way, we would love to hear about those. So let us know how you are using the Bible in any kind of digital fashion, whether that be for personal study or for group study. We would love to share that with everybody else. We already talked about our ministry resource, and that was Logos 4.0. There's some news in the tech industry, Sally.
Well, the news is that Google Wave is taking off somewhat, particularly in the Wells Tech area. We had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we had a public Wells Tech Wave, and it didn't really go anywhere for a little while. I heard from just a few people across the country, someone from California, Heather King, I believe, and then Adam Greenlee down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, were Wells Tech Wavers who found our public wave right off the bat. But just recently, I got invitations for Wave.
Mm-hmm.
So I could share that, and I tweeted about it, invited Wells Techers to send me their email address. I still have 9 invitations left, so if you don't have Google Wave yet and you'd like to be invited, it's not an instant thing. You have to wait a little while for your invitation to be delivered to you, but I'd be happy to include your email address in my invites as well. So,
and I think I have like 18 invites left. So
there you go.
Between the two of us, we can cover a good bit. So let us know if you're interested.
Just this past weekend, Martin, I don't know if you've checked our public wave recently, but a very large number of Wells Techers came online. So we have 12 or 15 people.
Oh, cool.
In the wave.
I did not check that over the weekend.
Yeah, so there's some interesting conversations. You can tell when other people are online at the same time as you. You have a little indicator for that, and you can have the real-time conversation. Otherwise, you can go back and play back the wave and see what everybody has to say in our Wells Tech Wave. And if you want to join it, if you have a Wave invite and are on Google Wave, you just need to search on Calling All Wells Techers, and you should find our public Google Wave and be able to join that.
Beautiful. Thanks.
And just one more mention about Google Wave. Jason Schmidt tweeted a new book that's in development. It's called The Complete Guide to Google Wave, and it's being written by Gina Trapani, who is one of the best life hacker writers out there, and she's just got a real good grasp of explaining technical things. And she's partnered with Adam Posh. I think he may be at Life Hacker
as
well.
That's right.
And basically, they're developing this book online, so you can go and read The Complete Guide to Google Wave online. It's still in development, so you can contribute to it, actually. And eventually, I think by the spring of next year, they'll be publishing this book. In January, actually, it says the first edition will come out in hard copy. So check out The Complete Guide to Google Wave.
Very good. Also, in the news for tech, I wanted to let everybody know that there had been some changes to one of my favorite recommendations, and that's OpenDNS. OpenDNS is essentially a way to let your network or any computer on your network know where to go on the web to make sense of all the addresses and the IP addresses that make up the web. So when you actually do go to a web page, you type in a name, it has to translate that into a number, an IP address. That's what a DNS server does. OpenDNS is a free server that'll allow you to hook up to it, but it provides all kinds of other services like content filtering. It'll allow you to block pages for different kinds of sites that you may not want the people behind your network to be able to get to for whatever reason. They've recently launched an upgrade to their service, which provides for a fee different additional services like a whitelist page that you could put together where only these sites could be retrieved from inside of your network. Or an expanded blacklist page where you say, I'm going to block these, and these, but not these. You can create your own custom search page so that when somebody tries to go to one of these sites, you can bring up your own custom site or your own custom page with your own logo or whatever. All kinds of different things that are being added. Malware protection. One of the additional modules or one of the additional levels of service that they're providing is what they call OpenDNS Enterprise. And one question I asked them recently was, well, what's the, because they didn't show the price, for nonprofits. There's I think it's $2,000. I want to say it's $2,000 for just the regular world to take advantage of this. But per year, right. But if a school wants to take advantage of that, they have a price of $500 annually. So I would imagine in some cases this could replace some of the content filtering packages that some schools have in place where you have that level of control over site blocking, logging. You can have delegated administration for it, stats and reporting, the black and white list that I talked about, and completely ad-free. So if you're interested, go to opendns.org and take a look at their products. And keep in mind, if you are a nonprofit, that's going to be $500 a year. There's also a personal version that I think if you pay like $10 a year, you can get some of these features as well. So take a look. I would encourage every home, if they're not using OpenDNS, to start using that, the free version or the $10 a year version. Well worth the investment and the energy to get it set up.
Yep, we use it here in Sleepy Eye, both at school and at home. So, and it has proved its worth to us over and over again in the school setting, for sure.
So that's great news from the OpenDNS folks. I hope they continue to stay in business because I think it's a great service. Shall we move on to our picks of the week?
Yeah, I had a pick that I wanted to share with everyone, something I picked up from Twitter from someone I was following there, Skip Z. And if you don't follow Skip, you may want to start. He's a Massachusetts teacher, and he's a smart board trainer as well. And he's always tweeting a lot of great education resources. And this one is called Open Office for Kids. and it's basically a different variation of the OpenOffice suite of software. OpenOffice is comparable to Microsoft Office, but free and open source. And someone has taken that open source code, I shouldn't say someone, probably a whole group of people, have taken the open source code from OpenOffice and tailored it to children and their needs in office software. And I guess one of the interesting things that kind of came out of the whole discussion as I was reading about this was that it's not just great for kids, it's great for adults too, because they've really just slimmed down the product and made it a lot more easy and user-friendly with larger icons, more intuitive icons, easily available and that kind of thing. So if you're looking to install a word processor maybe at the elementary school level, or even if you have a mother-in-law who's really computer challenged and is looking for something really easy to be comfortable with, OpenOffice for Kids may be a great solution. You can download it at download.0004kids.org, and I did that yesterday, installed it. It's about an 86 meg download, and their version number is 0.5.1, so I don't think, you know, they're saying that it's really ready for prime time. It's more of a beta version, but it seems fully functional, and like I said, very intuitive, a lot of large icons, and easy to follow and a comfortable setting for someone who might be brand new to word processing, spreadsheets, or even presentation software. You can do it all with OpenOffice for Kids. I think they even have the draw component as well.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
Do some drawing as well. So check it out.
And that's available on all three platforms, I believe, right? Windows,
that's
Mac,
correct.
And, well, I don't know about the kids' version, but the regular OpenOffice is Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Yeah, the kids' version is as well.
Good.
Yep.
No offense to any mothers-in-law that are listening out there, by the way. So send all your emails to Sally. All right, my pick of the week is a no-brainer. I'm picking the Glow Bible, something that I've been living in for the last couple weeks here. I can't recommend it enough. I've already talked about all of its features. Grab a copy or take a look at, there's a demo online. If you go to BibleGlow.com, there's an online video that you can kind of see the features for it. And I think if you go to any bookstore that carries it, I think you can pick up a free disc that would be a demo copy as well. But for $50 on Amazon, I think it's also a no-brainer. So go ahead and grab that, and let me know what you think. I would really love to get some people, who, especially teachers, who might be interested in using this in the classroom or in catechism class, whatever. I think there's just some great benefits there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to dig up that Amazon link and include that in the show notes. That sounds like a good deal.
Just do a quick search for Glow Bible. It'll come right up. All right. Community feedback. We've had a lot of people talking to us this week as well, so...
That's right. I just love to hear from our listeners. We'll start off with a comment that was posted on our Facebook group page from Ryan Rosenthal, who's at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And he gave us a link to an automatic memory work quiz maker by Carl Hensland. Carl's the teacher up in the Green Bay area, and he's created this online form. You basically put in the Bible reference, and it creates a fill-in-the-blank version of that Bible verse. And so you can easily print multiple copies and distribute it to your students and basically have them take a memory verse quiz by filling in the missing words from the Bible verses they were supposed to have learned.
Cool.
Great little utility, and we thank Carl for putting the time into programming that and sharing it with the community.
Yep, and we're going to have an interview later with Carl. We didn't have time for it on the show today, but I had a chance to sit down with Carl at the Teachers Conference and talk about a presentation that he had on free Windows software, especially software that can help you manage the other software on your network if you are a network manager, if that's one of your responsibilities. So listen for that in a future show. Thanks, Carl, for sitting down with us.
Very good. Next up, we had some tweets from Jason Schmidt. Jason is a teacher at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, and he is just one of my favorite tweeters out there. He is very active in the Twitter community, and he's always finding great resources because he has a wonderful personal learning network to learn from. So he likes to share those with Wells Tech. The first one, though, was a little bit of a question to us. Via Twitter, he asked, do we monitor the Wells Tech tag on Deco? And boy, that sent me looking, Jason. You know, I had to do a little bit of learning more about Deco. I have a Deco account. Deco is a tool for bookmarking websites, and not just bookmarking them, but you can actually annotate, add your own notes, highlight things, whatever, mm-hmm. about the websites that you're bookmarking. And you also can tag your bookmarks so that you can classify them and easily get back to them based on various categories or tags. And one of the things that people can do is use the tag Wells Tech, and Jason is wondering if we ever search for that tag in order to share those things on the Wells Tech podcast. And the answer to that is no, we hadn't been doing that, but boy, we're going to start, aren't we, Mark?
Now we are.
Yeah, we found lots of great stuff tagged on Deco with the Wells Tech tag.
Who knew?
Tap into that. Thanks for the heads up, Jason. And in addition, we also kind of revitalized something that we had created a while back but really hadn't done anything with, and that's a Wells Tech group on Deco. And so if you're interested, you can join our public Wells Tech group. It's at deco.com/group/WellsTech. And as you're adding your tags, you'll have the option of adding your bookmark to the group as well. And so that's a way to kind of combine all our tags in one place as well. So yep. Check all that out on Deco.
Very good. Thanks, Jason.
Yep. And more from Jason, just a few little snippets that he tweeted about. We'll include a link to a Lifehacker post that tells you how to zip up all your Google Docs in one zip file so you can easily download everything you might have saved on Google Docs. Could be useful for someone.
Mm-hmm.
He also included a link to Custom Guides Quick References, wonderful two-page quick reference cards that are free for download and in PDF format, so you can print them for your students or for yourself. And they have all the Microsoft products covered, lots of other Adobe products and things like that. So if you're looking for a quick reference card, this is a great place to start. He also sent us a link to requesting free DVDs or streaming science videos for schools. So we'll include that link in the show notes. He had found an interesting blog post that he shared about building your Twitter network. And then finally, Jason tweeted about creating a free website with a Flash website builder at Wix. com. That's W-I-X. And I took a look at this site yesterday, and it's really impressive. So I definitely want to dig in and do some playing at Wix.com, but I hadn't had time to do that yet.
Yep, sounds cool. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. Gail Potretz also tweeted a link to PBS Teachers Activity Packs, where the Public Broadcasting System website, the PBS website, has put together all of their resources around different teaching topics. So it's actually quite an impressive list and very easy to just dig in and use whatever you need. They have it organized under the arts, health and fitness, reading and language arts, science and technology, and social studies. And then when you drill down in each of those categories, then they have links to different resources. For instance, under social studies, I see China and citizenship and the Constitution and crime and justice and lots more. So check out the free resources from PBS Teachers.
Very good. So, yeah, if you want to have us recognize the things you're tweeting about, just make sure you include the hashtag WellsTech. That'll get it under our nose, and we'd love to hear from you and share that with the class, as it were.
Okay, and on educational games, we also heard from Jason Schmidt, who sent us a link to an animated arcade, and that's from the Online Teacher Resource. So a bunch more great educational games that you can check out and potentially share with your students. And then we heard from somebody that you know, Martin.
Alicia Cameron, formerly Alicia Spriggs.
Oh, okay.
Shared with us a couple links. She had... she's not a regular listener. Maybe she is now. I don't know, that she might get her name mentioned. She is She was a political science major, so her interests lie in some of the sites that relate to education but also relate to the law. And she recommended a couple sites. One of them is OurCourts.org. She got a chance to meet former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and I believe one of the websites that Sandra Day O'Connor promoted was OurCourts.com as a way to introduce the law and the judicial system to students. And this, I believe, is a great website for students to get engaged with the court system and what that is all about at OurCourts.org.
Yeah, I checked that out, and there are a couple of really fun games mm-hmm. having to do with constitutional rights.
Yeah, it makes it fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Very engaging.
Yep.
And the other one that Alicia shared was the BrickTestament.com. I never had seen this site. Had you seen this,
No,
Martin?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness. I shared it with my boys last night, and I couldn't get them off.
Really?
It is. It's the entire Bible visually presented with scenes built completely from Lego bricks. So you will not believe this, but I just loved it. Probably take some previewing. It's not the NIV text of the Bible that they use along with it, so you might want to check out, you know, specific scenes to make sure that they're appropriate for sharing in a classroom setting or whatever. Mm-hmm. But one thing that's really neat about it is that you can just email the fellow that put it together and get permission to share the files offline. So if you want to use some of the pictures in a presentation, in a Bible class, that kind of thing, just send him an email and you'll be granted that permission. So really well put together and vast supply of photos of Lego bricks in yep. amazing positions. So check it out at thebibletestament.com.
And if you're,
I'm sorry, the brick testament.
The bricktestament.com. Yeah, and if you're really industrious, you could try them yourself, right?
Yeah, well, he put some time into this. You'll be impressed when you take a look.
That's right. Very good. Thanks, Alicia. And she also shared some feedback on one of my picks of the week. And I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, I talked about Mint.com. And she and her new husband, Thomas, are Mint.com users. Essentially, remember us talking about this as an online way to aggregate all of your finances. So you can give them all of your online accounts. That's a little bit scary, but once you get past that, you'll find that now you can have a tool that's online, secure, of course, that shows you what your financial position is with any credit card debt that you have or investments that you have. You can create online budgets, and she feels that she's much better on top of what she and Thomas have, although it's not a lot because they're starving. He's a starving law student, and they're newlyweds, but what they do have, they can track very accurately and very easily with Mint.com.
Yeah, and Alicia wasn't the only one to give us feedback. Jeremy Johnson posted a great review of Mint.com on the show notes website. So he, too, is a happy user, says he's been using it for over 3 months and is making use of all the different aspects of the software. So if you're looking for an additional review, then check out the comments section from last week's show as well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm going to break down and give them my account numbers. I haven't gone there yet, but it does seem like a really great tool for proper stewardship, for being able to accurately track the gifts that God has blessed you with.
Absolutely.
So, one more comment from a Witty who happens to be related to a Spriggs that I know.
That's right.
This one came from Debbie Witty, who's down at Ascension in Sarasota, Florida, and she wrote to us looking for a projector solution. And you know, I just wanted to make sure we threw this in. We sent her links to our Wells Tech Wiki, where we have a lot of information about projectors online. But we also connected her with Mark Robinson, who works with our Shop Wells program. And Mark is such a wonderful advocate for helping our congregations and schools find the best deals on technology. And so if you're looking for projectors or maybe a telephone system or anything else that we have Shop Wells deals negotiated with, Mark is a great contact person for that.
Yeah, and it's tough to navigate sometimes the all the requirements and the recommendations that you read online. It's sometimes just helpful just to talk to somebody and say, hey, this is what we need. You know, we need it to do this, and this is the kind of room that we have set up, and this is our unique situation. What would you recommend? And Mark does a great job at that. And if he doesn't know the answer, he knows people who do. So he's a great resource for a ShopWells program. And you can typically get a better price through the ShopWells program than you can just kind of going out on your own. So it's worth the time and energy to do that. So thanks to everybody for the feedback this week. We had a lot of it. And Sally, remind everybody how they can get engaged with the show and share their thoughts.
Well, the first place to go is to our show notes website, which is at wellstech.wells.net. And there you'll find links to lots of ways to talk to us. You can leave a comment right there on the show notes. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net. We would love to hear your voice at 405-4-WELLS. Call us up. It's 405-367-9357. Leave us a voicemail and we'll include it in our next show. And as you mentioned earlier, Martin, you can tweet us at #WellsTech by including that hashtag, and we'll be on top of those comments as well. Lots of other ways you'll find on our show notes website.
Very good. Next week, we are going to celebrate National Distance Learning Week. And is that a Gale show?
Nope, that's a not. Sally show.
That's a Sally show. Okay.
Yeah. I do a lot of work with a lot of different areas of the Senate who are doing online learning. So a good follow-up to our discussion today, Martin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of featuring the Wells resources that are available already for our listeners and members and those who are seeking to find God's Word online, to find resources to support the work of the local congregation and school. So we'll be looking at all those different resources next week.
Very good. Looking forward to it. And let's close the show with the music of Mike Wessendorf, his song Come from album Color Through the Gray. That's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you again next week.
Come. find your deliverance. When you come to me, when you come to me. Come on, ye who fear. Come on, ye who hope. Come on, ye who sing for joy.